Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift is pastor teacher, a gift given to me by God for your benefit. It's a gift for evangelizing to unbelievers by preaching the gospel of his son. It's a gift for building a church filled with members of the body of Christ to provide them with a sanctuary in Satan's kingdom. Grace to you and peace from the members of the triune Godhead and from their manifest member, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. The Bible is his exact thinking. It is the absolute truth. It is without error. It is without contradiction. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 say this: all scripture is God-breathed, inspired by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The word of God is profitable. It is given to you for your personal benefit and for your personal use. The word of God is for teaching. It is a series of biblical truths and principles taught to you by a pastor and made easily available for you to learn. The word of God is for reproof. It is designed to help you learn things the easy way, and it warns you concerning the hard way, and it warns you about false teachers and false teaching and about other things that might be harmful to your spiritual growth. The word of God is for correction. It highlights the adjustments you need to make to get your lives operating according to God's plan. And it points out when you're going in the wrong direction. The word of God is for instruction in righteousness. It illustrates the standards of perfection that God is using to change us into perfect reflections of his glory. It edifies. So when we are corrected, we have two options. We can use the world standard of assessment, and we can consider ourselves as having been called out publicly, which is one of our greatest fears in life, or thrown under the bus, or as teenagers say today, being put on blast, or we can value the feedback. And as I see it, Christians are wise who consider teaching, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness all to be edifying. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 11 ask us this: have you forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons? My sons, don't regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you're reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. What does it mean to be disciplined? It means to be trained in a character pattern. And he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline, training in a character pattern, that you endure. God deals with you as with adult sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But the Lord disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. I think it's unreasonable to expect that you will not get correction from your pastor. And it's more unreasonable when we bring the world standard of thought about correction into a church rather than taking our church viewpoint into the world and taking the viewpoint into the world that all correction, all feedback is phenomenal. So we value feedback. Excuse me. We crave feedback and we seek out feedback. And when we get it, we make adjustments. That's why we come to Bible study. We come here for God's feedback about our lives, not the world's feedback. We're getting plenty of that during the week. We have quite enough of it. Welcome to Bible study for the refreshment of renewing. This is a place where you can learn from God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 says, put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created the new self. And that is our God. So welcome to a place where you can, in humility, receive the word of God implanted, which is able to deliver your souls. Now, as God prepares you believers in Christ for the renewing of your mind, let's worship our Lord in song. The opening song is, How Great Thou Art.
When I in awesome wonder consider the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the
then sings my soul, my
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, make us a channel of peace, that where there is hatred, we may bring unconditional love. That where there is wrong, we may bring a spirit of forgiveness. That where there is discord, we may bring a spirit of harmony. That where there is error, we may bring truth. That where there is doubt, we may bring faith. That where there is despair, we may bring hope. That where there are shadows, we may bring your light. That where there is sadness, we may bring joy. Father, help us to seek comfort rather than to be comforted, to understand before we are understood, to love first and then to be loved. Help us to remember that it is by self-forgetting that we find, it is by forgiving that we are forgiven, it is by dying that we awaken to life. And we ask these things through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Today's study, Romans 1, what is a ministry? What is a ministry? We continue our study of faith. Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 15 is Paul's prayer for the purpose of his ministry. What is a ministry? And in Romans chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says, "First I, Paul, thank God, the Father in prayer through Jesus Christ's name for all you believers in Rome, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world, all through the Roman Empire. The desire to proclaim our faith throughout the world calls into question a word that we hear on a regular basis, ministry. Because to proclaim your faith throughout the whole world is a ministry. What is a ministry? A ministry is a calling given to us by God and centered in service to the Lord Jesus Christ, in which you use your spiritual gift as you choose in service to others. A ministry is a calling given to you by God and centered in service to the Lord Jesus Christ, in which you use your spiritual gift as you choose in service to others. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. What is your ministry? There is no faster way to get a Christian to go 9.9 on the sphincter scale than to ask them, what is your ministry? With the possible exception of, what is your spiritual gift? It's scary. But you have them. You have a ministry. You have a spiritual gift. Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds when you were an unbeliever, yet he, the Lord Jesus Christ, has now reconciled you, restored your relationship with God the Father, in his fleshly body, in his true humanity, through death on a cross, in order to present you before God the Father, holy and blameless and without beyond reproach. That's you right this minute. When God the Father looks at you, he sees three things. He sees a person who is holy, a person who is blameless, and a person who is beyond reproach. Romans 8:1, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in union with Christ. In other words, God thinks something of you that you don't even think of yourself. God holds you in an esteem with which you do not esteem yourself. Colossians 1:23. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. Now, you can move away from faith and move away from hope. If you move away from faith, where do you go? To unbelief. If you move away from hope, where do you go? Where? Hopeless. Yeah, unbelief. You can move away from it. And of course, that's called reversionism, right? No. No, it's called a choice. It's a choice to have this wonderful gift and not to use it. It's like having a treadmill in your house and never getting on it. Right? But the treadmill's still in your house. The gift is still there. It doesn't go away, and nobody takes it from you. You still have it. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Minister. Paul is a minister. Paul has a ministry. And by the way, look at that. It was proclaimed in all creation under heaven. You see how God works? God proclaims everything to all creation under heaven. So there goes the thought that people have that, well, what if they didn't know? What if the little child out in Africa didn't know about Jesus Christ? There is no child in the middle of Africa that doesn't know about Jesus Christ, with the possible exception of one that was born and died 2 days later. Automatic salvation. No, God makes himself visible all throughout creation and all under the heavens. And Paul was made a minister. As a minister, Paul has a ministry. And guess what? So do you. We don't get to watch Paul and say, oh, isn't that nice for Paul? Isn't that great that he has a ministry? I hardly recommend that everyone have one of those. Except me. We don't get to do that. As believers in Christ, we get a spiritual gift and we have a ministry. What is it? We have to find out. Colossians 1:24. Now I, Paul, rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. That's what it's like to have a ministry. You suffer for other people. And in my flesh, in this physical body, I do my share on behalf of his body. What's his body? The body of Christ. The collection of believers. So look at that. Paul is saying what a ministry is me and my body doing my part for the collective. See, we don't get to sit on our hands. I wasn't just making that up. That's how it is. I, Paul, rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church. What is that? The church age believers, the world family of God. In filling up what is lacking. That's what a ministry is. You have something that I need. I have something you need, and we must fill up each other's lacking. That's what a ministry is. Colossians 1:25, Paul says, of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit. I didn't look it up, but I'll bet you stewardship is oikonomia in the Greek, which means dispensation. Of this church age, I, Paul, was made a minister of the church age according to this new dispensation of God that happened after the cross. And it was bestowed on me, this ministry was bestowed on me. What does that mean? It's a calling. God woke me up one day and said, you're a pastor. It was bestowed on me as a calling. I firmly believe he did the same thing to my dad. My dad was articulate, had the ability to command a room, but he didn't do jack with it. So somebody can wake you up and say, hey, you're a pastor, you can do nothing with it. An undeveloped spiritual gift. Of this church I was made a minister according to the dispensation from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That's what ministers do, specifically the minister who has the gift of apostle. Colossians 1:26, that is the mystery doctrine of the church age, the mystery that the church age was a drop-in into divine history that was concealed from people in the Old Testament, which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, the age of Israel people, the age of the Gentile people, the hypostatic union people, but has now been made manifest, clearly visible. That's what manifest means, clearly visible to the saints, believers in Christ. All believers in Christ are saints. Colossians 1:27, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Let's say that another way. Here's a better way to translate that. To whom God willed to make known the glorious riches of this church age to the Gentiles. And what is this glorious rich? What are these glorious riches that he bestowed on you, Gentiles? Christ indwelling you. Christ indwelling you. The absolute confidence of future glorification. The hope of glory. You see, that you're a believer in Christ, and in a future time, you're going to be glorified. Guaranteed. Right this minute, you have Christ indwelling you. Now, you've taken on some human challenges. And I'll tell you what your soul is filled with as you have taken on these human challenges. Or better still, you tell me. What is your soul filled with? Come on, you can say it.
Doubt.
Doubt. What else? You word.
Unbelief.
Doubt. Scubala, unbelief, with Christ indwelling you. What's up with that? Some of you are getting married coming up. Welcome to hell. Oh, don't say that. Come on, it's true. Relationships are a challenge, but it's not horrible. It's just a challenge. So how do you feel about the challenge in light of the fact that Christ is indwelling you? In light of the fact that if you're marrying a believer in Christ, Christ is indwelling your partner. How do you feel about the challenge now? Because we should be encouraged. No doubt. No worries. Because foundationally, we're in the right place. Of course, there will be challenges, but foundationally, it's in the right place. Christ indwelling you. Barah Ministries is a ministry, and it is God's ministry. And you are called in service to God's ministry. When you're called in service to a ministry, what God expects you to do is orient your whole life around that ministry. I appreciate those of you, by the way, who came earlier today. I didn't notice that. I did. It must have cost you a couple Cinnabons and some Kenny Rankin music, but I appreciate you coming earlier. You know why you did it? Because I asked you to. You know, that's cool. It really is. Or maybe you were cajoled, pressed and prodded by somebody you love. But the point is, thank you. Thank you.
Thank God in all things.
That's right. Amen. This is God's ministry. And God is calling you to this ministry. And he called you with an invitation to serve this ministry. You orient your life around this. So here's my question. What is your ministry? God has given you a spiritual gift. He expects you to use that gift to edify the body, the church, just like he expected Paul to do with your spiritual gift. Can you imagine Paul wandering around for years and years asking himself, what's my spiritual gift? He didn't. You know, the minute he was knocked off of his high horse on the Damascus Road, he got up and he started acting. He was taken into instruction. He took in the instruction. He didn't say, okay, I agree, I disagree, Lord. He just listened to the instruction and then he put it to work in his ministry. He learned it on the fly. And he learned it with an active faith, which the Bible describes by the word, the Greek word, dioko. He relentlessly pursued his ministry just as vigorously as he pursued killing Christians. And the Holy Spirit used the same word for his vigorous pursuit of killing Christians as he used for his vigorous pursuit of the New Testament. Paul's not special. Paul's the worst believer of all time. God is calling you to the same ministry. He's calling you to the same thing. He's calling you to dioko, to relentlessly pursue your ministry with your spiritual gift that he gave you at the moment of salvation. How long have you been a Christian? Because that's how long you've had a spiritual gift. What's your spiritual gift? Paul learned his spiritual gift by serving. He did not learn it by waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to fly over him like a pigeon and to dump the gift on his head. What's your ministry? Here's what a ministry looks like. You have a name, your ministry has a name, and your ministry has a type. And your ministry is centered in Christ. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are a temple of God the Father and that the Holy Spirit of God is indwelling you? See, what does that mean? It means that you don't have to bring one of your friends to a building so that they can worship. You are that building. And see, when you're not in here, you are a temple and your job is to run your ministry out there. And when you come in here, you have a bunch of ministries operating together. Does it matter what kind of structure we're in to do that? It does not. Yes, it's great. God has made it clear that he wants us to have a structure. He's given us a piece of land. He's given us an architect. We know right now, and I'm gonna share this letter with you in a future lesson, but we know right now that if we were ready to, with all the things that we need to build our building by February 14th, that we would not be able to start construction until October of next year. So this is a process. And by the way, that's if everything goes perfectly. If the neighbors who are next door to our property don't particularly like what we're proposing for that site, they can hold that up for a year by complaining about it. So it's a process. You are a temple. And so we take this temple, we take this ministry, we take it out into the world and we exercise it here. When we take it out into the world, we're exercising it for the lost and dying world. When we do it in here, we're doing it for each other. You owe me. You owe me your spiritual gift. And I owe you. We don't get to sit around and pretend in the matter of a spiritual gift. Here's how my ministry looks. I am Rory Clark, pastor teacher, centered in Christ, and the type of ministry I have is a Christian church. What's your ministry? And you know who the power source is behind my ministry? God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is the power source behind my ministry and the power source behind my spiritual gift. I have divine omnipotence, the power of God, driving my ministry. Now, that's different for you guys, right? Because pastor teachers are up here on the totem pole and you guys are kind of down here, right? No, that's not how it works, is it? See, we're absolutely equal in this matter. You have a ministry, you have a spiritual gift, and your spiritual gift is powered by the divine omnipotence of the same God that resurrected the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, God the Holy Spirit. So you don't get to play pretend. I don't know what my ministry is. You don't get to play pretend. You owe me, and I owe you. And we owe God. And that's scary, isn't it? It's going to require us to take the blankets off. The Lord didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of discipline. So I ask you, what is your spiritual gift? I ask you, what is your ministry? When you know that your spiritual gift and your ministry are powered by God the Holy Spirit, there's no reason for you to wallow in your inadequacy. Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You will find your spiritual gift and you will find your ministry through action. In faith, you fully expect that God will reveal your spiritual gift and your ministry to you. He is anxious, eager to do that. Are you anxious and eager to learn? God expects each of us to bring our ministry and our spiritual gift to the others within Barah Ministries who do not have your ministry or your gift. For example, maybe some of you are great at encouragement. You do it, you like it, you're effective at it. So how about starting a ministry to those within Barah Ministries who are experiencing health problems? There was a lady at the first Barah Ministries homecoming who said she had a card ministry. I said, what the hell is that? She said, the people in the ministry who are sick, I write cards to them. And I've been sick before, and she wrote me a card, and it's very long and personal and warm and touching, and I have it on my dresser, and if I get depressed, I go pull it out and say, well, at least there's one person in the world likes me, you know. Pull that thing out about 70 times this week. Amen? Right, Mandy? I'm sorry. So maybe you visit them as part of your ministry. Maybe you care for them. Maybe you bring other congregation members to them who have expertise that can help them. You know, I've gotten some outstanding medical advice from people who are not my doctors during this year, which has been medical hell for me. Right? And people have told me things that have calmed my soul because of the expertise that they have. That's awesome. That's exciting. That's what we're here for. We're here for each other that way. Maybe you're great at organizational skills. All right, so organize something. And then when you find that you're good at organizing things and you find that you like doing it, then don't stop. Keep doing it. Just every time keep upping it to something more difficult so that you press yourself. And then it's amazing. So my question for you is this, what's your ministry? Take a 5-minute break, and we'll learn more about ministry.
In your presence, that's where I am strong. In your where the
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome to the New Berea Ministries, where everyone has a spiritual gift and where everyone chooses to discover it and to put it into play. Let me repeat that. I don't believe you heard me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen? I said, welcome to the New Berea Ministries, where everyone has a spiritual gift and where everyone chooses to discover it and to put it into play. What is a ministry? Ministry is a calling given to you by God and centered in service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if God gives you a ministry, trust me on one thing. He's not going to hide it from you. Amen?
Amen?
That's a calling given to you by God and centered in service to the Lord Jesus Christ, in which you use your spiritual gift as you choose in service to others. I'll tell you why people don't want to find out their spiritual gift and what their ministry is, because it's self-centered. Right? Because a ministry and a spiritual gift is other-centered. Now, you got two choices. You're either self-centered or other-centered. If you're other-centered, you want to find out what your ministry is. If you're self-centered, then you don't. And it's that simple. Don't shoot the messenger. Because Jesus Christ was the first messenger of that. You're of your father, the devil. That's what he said to the Pharisees. Believe me, he did not say that nice. He did not deliver that message kindly. He got in their faces. You are of your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning because there's no truth in him. You know the rest. Another word for calling, you know, ministry is a calling. Another word for calling is purpose. There's another word that gives us a kick in the solar plexus. God gives us purpose. And God is not confused or confusing, but often we are confused. And often we are content to stay in that state. Let's get one thing straight. Barah Ministries is not a business. It has attributes of a business, but it is not a business. I think it's unreasonable for us to expect a church to operate on the world standard of thought rather than taking the church's standard of operation to the world. Because, see, in the world system of thought, it's easy to hide behind the leader's responsibility for the organization and to blame the leader when they don't tell you everything to do. I can't tell you how many times I've had people come to me and ask me, what is my spiritual gift? How in the hell am I supposed to know? I didn't give it to you. I don't know what your spiritual gift is. I'm just happy I know mine. But God is willing to reveal to you what your spiritual gift is. Do you want to know? And that'll be the next subject we talk about, prayer. Do you go to him in prayer and say, God, I demand, because I'm coming boldly before the throne of grace, I demand that you let me know in no uncertain terms what my spiritual gift is. And then after you do that, duck, because a brick's going to come flying through your window and hit you right in the back of the head with a note on it. This is your spiritual gift, dummy. Have you seen all the different ways that I've showed you that you're great at that you've ignored? Amen? So, in the world system of thought, it's easy to hide behind the leader's responsibility for the organization and to blame the leader when they don't tell you everything to do. But to bring that standard into a church is a mistake. I am not responsible for the identification of your spiritual gift. I don't have a clue what your ministry is. And I'm sorry, but I have a difficult enough time focusing on my own. I mean, you can see, you got to get out there and find out. You can get into a ministry. You know, I'm going to tell you some ministries that we have available in this congregation. And you may say, that's my spiritual gift. And you may run into it and you may spend a little time there and figure it out that you hate it. And when you figure out that you hate it, get out of it and be really happy that you did that, because it is just as important to know what you want to do as it is important to know what you don't want to do. That's fine. I don't like evangelism. That's how I found out that I'm not an evangelist, because I don't like evangelism. Because what evangelists, the comparison of an evangelist in my industry is a motivational speaker, right? They go there, they fire everybody up, they get a check, and they split. That's what motivational speakers do. That's what evangelists do in a sense. They get everybody fired up, but they don't stay with them and watch the growth. I like staying with people and watching the growth, which is one of the cues that I was a teacher. It always bummed me out to no end at the end of the semester when the group of students would go on and then the next students would come in. I was like, oh man, I was just starting to like them. I'll never forget the first time I taught. And I had no experience in teaching whatsoever, so I just worked all on instinct. And in the 10th week of the 16 week, the students turned on me. They didn't need me anymore. I was so bummed. And I was sulking. And then it happened the next semester. And then the same thing happened in the 10th week of the next semester, and I finally figured it out. I had taught them in such a way that they were competent. By the 10th week of the semester, they got it that they were competent and they wanted to operate on their own. And that's exactly what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to, at that point, let them operate on their own. Oh, parents of teenagers, does that sound familiar at all? Stop grinning. I know what that grin means. So that's the way it is. That's the way it happens. When you're doing your job well as a teacher, the students have to move on. And it's a bummer, but it's the way it is. So as the leader of this ministry, I can set direction. And in fact, I have in many areas in many ways. But most of the time, it has not worked. Why? Because a church is not a business and because I don't control you. Example, I think you guys should take notes when you're at a Bible lesson. Right? You have volition. But to me, if I wanted you to be a great student, I would force you to take notes. When I had my kids, I forced them to take notes. Right? I wanted them to give it a chance to catch. But that's not where we are today. And we think it's effective. I see people who are trying to learn all the time who don't use pencil and paper to learn. It's not the same. I think you guys should learn to create mind maps to help you remember. A lot of mind activity, and then it went away. I think you guys should initiate the things you want to do for the church. Yeah, I hear you, Pastor. Some do, some don't. That's the way, but, you know, that's not the way God wants things to go. Right? So I've done the leadership. I've done the initiation. It doesn't work out that way. Why? Because this is not a business. You have volition. I can tell you everything until I'm blue in the face. Until it kicks in for you and your volition, it's not going to work. And see, the cool thing about this place is everyone gets to bring, everyone has a spiritual gift, there's no question. And everyone has a ministry, there's no question. It's just, do you want to use it or do you want to be dead? That's all. So here are several ministry opportunities within Barah Ministries. Fundraising. We are great at that. Barah Ministries is great at fundraising. You guys have done some fundraisers that have raised money, but more than that, have been absolutely outstanding fun events. Do we ever think about bringing other people to those? Because, you know, the other churches, I think what they do is they use music ministry, fundraising and stuff to enjoin people. Because when people get in a church, the first thing they're looking at is, who are the people that I would be in the church with? And so things like music ministries entice people to come. And then when they get there, what happens? There's no message. Right? Typically. I went to a Christmas service at one of the big churches here. It was 45 minutes before they hit a Bible verse. Announcements, music, the band, a skit, collection, not a Bible verse in sight for 45 minutes. That's not Barah Ministries. If we entice somebody to come with a music ministry, when they get here, the message is going to punch them in the face. The message is going to be wow. The music's wow. The message is going to be wow. You're going to be wow when you're all using your ministry. The publications are going to be wow. The fact that it's free is going to be wow. Everything in this ministry is going to be wow. You know why? Because Christ is wow. We don't have to settle for less than wow. That's what we're trying to build here. I can't build that. Because if I could build it, do you think I would be asking you to help? I'd do it. We can't do that. Fundraising, we're great at it. Nursery, we have somebody at the head of it. Is it wow? And I don't mean is it wow by my standards, is it wow by the standards of the person who's there? Kids ministry, we have one. Is it wow? I'll tell you this. I don't think there's any ministry within Barah Ministries that works harder. But is it wow? Yet I've heard Deacon Elliott say 50 times if I've heard him say it once, Kermit the Frog was my first pastor. And Clifford was Satan. But do we use that with the kids? Because it's really effective. I taught a two-year-old kid who Jesus Christ was with Kermit the Frog. And he was out with his dad at a mall, and they had a Sesame Street promotion, and there was a guy in a Kermit suit, and the kid said, "Dad, Jesus Christ!" That's effective. And that's the way we want to be with our kids. We want to be wow. When parents put their kids in the kids' ministry, or when parents put their kids in the nursery, we want them to say, "Wow, I've never experienced anything like this before." When that kid came home, that kid was doing stuff. People, you guys who are in the kids ministry, used to walk kids up and show me stuff that they had done. It was amazing to me. It was wow. But how about wow all the time? The teens ministry. I'll just tell you, it's not wow. But I'll tell you that I have a wow about the guy who runs it. And when that guy wants to produce wow, it's wow. Publication. I've got the guy I want at the head of publications, and the publications are going to be wow, period. Finances. We've got somebody who stepped forward and who wants to shape our finances in such a way that they are really appealing to banks. Internet, website. We've got a wow guy in Mark Pomeroy, but he's in Florida. But he is a wow guy. Every time we need anything, he's on it. Like we just got dropped by Blip TV. Blip TV does not want to have Christian churches on anymore, so we won't be on in video today. That's why I wore this very loud, you know, jacket. Because we're not going to be on TV today. I found out we're going to be on in a couple days, thanks to Van and the guys. But, yeah, we got kicked off. Isn't that a perfect timing, right in the middle of turmoil in our own building? And we get kicked off. Coincidence. But how about somebody who can manage the internet and the website here, who understands how to archive video and archive audio and to do something meaningful with it, like cut excerpts from it and post it to YouTube, which Tracy Bixby wants to do and is waiting for the okay go, which is great. How about translation into other languages? We have gotten "And You Will Be Saved" translated into Spanish, but we haven't gotten it up yet. But that needs to happen. How about this? Tremendously important. You know, I said that maybe one day somebody will drop $2 million in on us. You know what the first thing they're going to ask us is? Well, what's your community outreach? And we'll say, what is that? We don't get to say that. We have to have community outreach. There's something coming up called Make a Difference Day. I don't know what it is, but it's coming up. Are we involved in it? Because I think we should be. Make a Difference Day. I don't know what it is, but I heard about it this week. The Office of Deacon. Pastor's Assistant. And we're looking for somebody to help with my slides. Anybody here got PowerPoint expertise and want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning every Sunday to help me with the last bit of my slides? Service to those who are sick. Those are things. Did I miss one? One's missing. I have one here. Evangelism, pastor teachers, audio video. Those are ministries. We need help in those. What's the prerequisite? Well, you have to have a master's degree, 15 years of experience, and have it been salaried in it, right? No. You know, we learn it on the fly. All you have to do is have the willingness to investigate the area, and we'll bring all the expertise that we have to your assistance so that you can be successful at it. These are possibilities. Some of those are critical. Some of those are optional. All of these gifts are here within Barah Ministries because if they're needed, God is providing them. Are you awakening to your gift? See, all of the gifts that we need are right here within Barah Ministries because God knew we would need them and provided them. But are you awakening to your gift? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. 1 CO 3:1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to tell you something that is going to shock you. When I took the pastorship of Barah Ministries, there wasn't a handbook. There wasn't a handbook of operation. And there wasn't anybody telling me what to do. But I was able to assemble 1,209 commentaries in a software program called Logos, which gave me a lot of security. And then early this year, about January, God kicked over my Legos. And those 1,209 commentaries are no longer in play. And there's one book in play, the Bible. So if you're wondering if there's going to be a manual for your ministry, I will tell you there isn't going to be one. You're going to have to create one. And I will tell you this, it's a blast. It's really fun to do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Are you there? All right, here it is. And I, Paul, brethren, believers in Christ, could not speak to you as if I were speaking to spiritual men. What are spiritual men? Mature people. Mature believers. But I must speak to you as if I am speaking to men of flesh, to immature believers, to infants in Christ. This is all about growth. Baby believer, mature believer. 1 Corinthians 3, 2. I gave you infants, you immature believers, milk to drink, not solid food, because you weren't able to receive solid food. When you're just beginning in the Christian way of life, you don't know much. Indeed, even now you're not able because you're still fleshly, which means immature. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, aren't you immature? And aren't you walking like mere men? How do mere men walk? Immaturely. 1 Corinthians 3, 4, for when one says, I'm of Paul, and another says, I'm of Apollos, are you not being immature? When you create factions, are you not being immature, is the question that's being asked by that. 1 Corinthians 3, 5, what then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Apollos and Paul are servants through whom you believe. Even as the Lord gave the opportunity to each one, Paul and Apollos. I, Paul, planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. Do you get that? I, Rory, may do the planting in you. I, Rory, may do the watering, but God is going to cause the growth of your ministry. He promises. And your ministry is going to start off immature, and it's going to move to mature or else. That was funny when you really think about it. 1 Corinthians 3, 7. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters, not Paul, not Apollos, is anything. But God is the one who causes the growth. God is the one who works all things together for good. Not me. 1 Corinthians 3, 8, now he who plants and he who waters are one. We're in unity. But each will receive his own reward according to his labor. 1 Corinthians 3, 9, for we are God's fellow workers. There's no difference between me and you. Just because I'm up front. See, we have a problem in Barah Ministries, and it's called didactic. I say stuff. You interpret it mostly wrongly without ever talking to me. And then you operate on it. So if you say to me, if you're looking for permission for your ministry, which you should never do, and you say to me, hey, what do you think about this? And I say, I think it requires some coordination. I'd wait and do the coordination before we launch it. And I may not say it that good. It's always good. You can always say it good when you think about it a little while. That'll come out as, he shot it down. No, I didn't. You shot it down, and you're glad that I did. So you don't have to finish it. But it's still your ministry. You see, I can't do 10 ministries and then my own. I can't. And in that way, this does not work like a business. In a business, we're always reverse delegating to the manager and then blaming the manager when our thing doesn't get done. It doesn't work that way in a ministry. If you want me to do your ministry, I'm fine with that. Just don't expect me to show up here and teach 3 lessons a week. I can't do it. I'm barely able to do what I'm doing now. And that's just the truth. So that means that we just have to step up. 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, but somebody else is building on it. I believed in Christ, but somebody else is building on my foundation. And each man must be careful how he builds on it. Each of us has a ministry. For no man, although no man, can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ. Christ is at the center of every ministry. So here's my question for you. What's your ministry? What's your spiritual gift? Because within the New Berea Ministries, your spiritual gift and your ministry are needed and welcome, and nobody can tell you what they are but God. And He is clear, quick, not at all confusing. And I'll tell you that you will learn what your spiritual gift is by acting in faith, not by sitting and waiting. Amen? Closing song. What can separate you?
He numbered each and every star and called them all by name. He counts them one by one to see if they are all in place. And if He cares for every star, then He sees right where you are. You can trust you'll never fall from His. The night. the darkest hour is just before the dawn. Remember what can separate you from neither pain nor sorrow, not today or not tomorrow. Nothing past or nothing present, nothing future, nothing else.
I'm confident of this very thing, that God the Father, who began a divine good work in the creation of you, will keep on perfecting it until the day of Christ Jesus. So don't fret because of evildoers. Don't be envious toward wrongdoers. They will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will garrison your hearts and your minds for those of you in union with Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for giving us ministries. Thank you for giving us spiritual gifts. Please make it obvious to us what they are. And surround us with the resources that we need to bring them out. And give us the courage to step forward and to make effort, knowing that we are powered by the omnipotence of an enabling God and Holy Spirit, who is totally interested in our success. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.